I understand. Well, rumor had it.
I put potatoes in the ground, yes.
That's all you do? I heard you were an avid gardener. That's what Maggie had told me,
oh,
that
I'm
you're
just
a successful
waiting to retire
and avid
so
gardener.
That I can do that. Do more.
Yeah?
And just like Mary, who we're going to talk to in a minute, it was my grandma, I think, that was behind it all.
Okay.
And then now my ma.
Well, and you were raised up here, right? You're from this area.
Here in North, yes.
Okay. I'm I didn't think it was going to be that big of a difference, but I moved here from South Dakota, and the difference in the growing time is so drastic.
Yeah, but you just have to plant different things.
I'm still trying to figure it out, and it's something that is hard for me to figure out. So I'm glad that we've discovered this book. Mary Lar Scheer has written the book. It's called From Apples to Zinnias, The Northern Gardener, and it is going to help me be successful this year, and we've got her on the line right now to talk about it. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Great to hear your voice. Well, you've written this book. It's full of tips and information and suggestions to help people find success in their gardens in the northern climates. But I guess the irony, just to start talking about how this all happened, you didn't grow up around a garden.
No, I did not. As David said, I had one grandma who was a very good gardener. She lived in southwestern Minnesota in a little town called Mineota. But I didn't see her very much. I grew up in the Twin Cities. And my mom and dad had six kids. They raised kids. And that's about all. And so we had some trees and a few plants, but I started gardening when I was an adult, really.
So how did you end up writing this book?
Well, I had, as a very young adult, I enjoyed cooking, and so I thought it would be fun to grow food. And so I did a lot of gardening, just kind of puttering around, and I killed a lot of plants, like most people who don't know anything to start with. And I was also a freelance writer. And in 2005, I was asked to temporarily edit a magazine called Northern Gardener. And I started editing the magazine, and at the same time, I'd expanded my gardens. I was learning more. I was talking to people. And, just over the years, you learn. And so now I've been editing Northern Gardener for almost 13 years, and started to do this book, which is partly based on the history of the Minnesota Horticultural Society, which is the publisher of Northern Gardener and has been around for more than 150 years.
I wanted to ask you about, there is an interesting kind of commingling of Minnesota history and gardening. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about that.
Right. I mean, one of the things I wanted to do, there's a lot of books on how to do gardening out there. And I think because we're in this difficult climate, and you guys are in the even more difficult climate, and I'm in zone 4. I think most of your gardeners are up in zone 3. Because we have this different climate, there's a different sort of history of how gardening happened in Minnesota. Because people that came here from the East Coast or, even from Sweden, places like that, were just shocked by what they could not grow. And so they started really getting organized about horticulture, and that was the beginning of the Horticulture Society. Apples was kind of the first thing they wanted to be able to grow, and they spent decades doing, trying different kinds of varieties and grafting apples on different sorts of trees and trying all sorts of things in order to be able to grow that. So we have a very long horticultural history, and I kind of wanted to blend that with some of the how-to information.
It's quite a nice synthesis of that information. It's got 26 chapters, and they're covering everything from how to grow successful fruit trees to how to build efficient composting methods and watering techniques, how to even organize your garden. Tell us, if you could, a couple of action steps or things to remember that will make a significant difference in the success of growing things. Just a couple of solid tips.
Mm-hmm. Well, depending on what you want to grow, I mean, the first thing is, I think, always picking the right plant for your climate in your yard. And I think the first thing you do if you want to garden is spend a lot of time watching the sun. Where is the sun in your yard? you know, and, you know, what times of the year. Of course, you get, you know, a lot in the summer, not so much in the fall and the spring. But, you know, watch the sun in your yard. Where are your trees? Where's the shade from your house? And really kind of get to know your landscape. And from there, you can decide which kinds of plants you want to put in. You know, do you need to have plants that can take a little bit of shade, or can you plant something that really, really likes sun? Picking the plants that work for your zone. And I actually think it's a good idea to do a soil test, if especially if you're not certain about your soil. A couple of years ago, I moved from Northfield, Minnesota, where I had fantastic soil, to St. Paul, and I did a soil test because I really didn't know what was in my soil. And I'm glad I did. There's a few things that have to be done to improve the soil, including putting in raised beds. So for my vegetables, I grow all my vegetables in raised beds because I don't have very good soil.
So when you say a soil test, do you mean take a sample of soil to the county?
Extension?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if your extension or if you could send it down to the U of M, and they'll run it. They usually come back, the results come back within a couple of weeks. It'll tell you what to put, what kind of fertilizer you need to put in. Because sometimes people are putting in, you know, an evenly balanced fertilizer, like a 10-10-10, and they really don't need all of that. They need maybe just a little bit of nitrogen or, you know, a little potassium, but they don't need the full fertilizer. And the U of M will give you a recommendation on what to do with your fertilizing.
Great. We're talking with Mary Lahr Scheer. She wrote the book From Apples to Zinnias, The Northern Gardener. And Mary, it's getting kind of close to when we're going to start starting our seeds inside. I know lots of people are thumbing through their seed books right now and getting pretty excited about that. Mm-hmm. I hope that other people have this question too. I've started seeds inside at lots of different times in my life, and I don't think I'm doing it properly because it seems like they're spindly, and then I put them outside and half of them die, and it's a nightmare. Can you help me?
Well, I'll tell you some. It took me about 5 or 6 years to be able to really start seeds well. Use the seed starting mix. Some of the best tips I've had is if you're going to do it under lights, don't try to do it in a window. There'll never be enough light. You put them under like just a plain fluorescent light fixture. If you can get a four bulber, one that has four little rods of the fluorescent light in it, rather than a two, you get a little better coverage and a little better light. You know, the other thing that I think is a really good tip is to put them on a timer so you're sure they're going off and on at the right time of the day, and also have a low fan running in the room or near the plants, because that gives it sort of the impression of being outside. There's a little bit of breeze, and I think you get much sturdier seedlings when you do it with a low fan. So those are just a few tips that I've found to be very helpful.
And do you adjust the distance between your plants and your lights? I know some folks have chains on their fluorescent, like my mother has.
Yeah, I'm not lucky.
As the plants go up?
Right. I actually have a workroom, and I have in my house, and I have a chain on a little hook at the ceiling, which I just leave up year-round, and then I just lower and raise the lights as the plants get bigger to keep them, about an inch or two above the plant.
Okay, that's
larger.
That was the distance I was looking for, just an inch or two above the plant. So you, when things are moving, you can be moving that light a couple times a week.
Right. You can't really, you can't go on vacation when you've got your seedlings getting started. I mean, you really have to kind of look at them every day. And for a while, I moved my seedlings into what was my office because I knew I would pay better attention to them if I saw them every day. So you really have to keep an eye on them.
Right.
Especially, and then, when you get to the warmer time of the year, you want to move them in and out of the house so they get used to being outside. Another option is winter sowing, and I don't know if you have many people up there that do the winter sowing, which is actually done outside.
Mm.
And I have some tips for it in the book, but basically you use like an old, a cleaned out milk jug or those little boxes the salad mix sometimes comes in, those plastic ones, and you create mini greenhouses. Now, you can't start tomatoes using this method, but if you want to start like perennials, you just basically you put them in with soil, you put some holes, of course, in the box, and you put it outside.
Yeah.
And you wait until spring, and pretty much you'll get your seeds will start popping up in the little mini greenhouses. It's called winter sowing. And if folks just would, if you Google, look online that particular term, you'll find lots of complete instructions. And then we have complete instructions actually in the book as well. But it's a good method for someone who, doesn't want to spend a lot of money on plants but wants to start a flower garden with a lot of perennials.
Yeah, and the book is called The Northern Gardener, and we're talking to Mary Scheer, and I did want to point out that we're not talking all vegetables. There's a good mix of flowers and vegetables and complete gardens, and it's a beautiful book. It's got a lot of photographs, including a number of historical photographs, and one that just jumped out at me was we've got a couple of folks that have spent a lot of time on this station talking about buckthorn, Harry and John, and what a disaster it is. And there's a picture of a beautiful, if there is such a thing, beautiful buckthorn, perfectly manicured plant, and the family photograph with about 15 people in it, and they're all sitting in front of about a 12 to 15 foot buckthorn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, buckthorn was considered a wonderful landscape plant at that time. It grew very well. They noted, and it was, it created a great hedge, but kind of got out of control.
Yeah. But there were also some, just great just plans on how to make a hot box, plans on how to lay out a garden. And again, you had talked about the importance of the sun, and some folks are lucky enough, like I am, if the sun is an issue, I can get the John's root out and make more sun. But it's a great book.
It is.
Thank you.
You could pick it up and read it for 2 minutes or 2 hours and come away with something every time.
And that's the idea. It's an A to Z, so it's got 26 chapters on different topics. And part of it was I wrote it for younger gardeners, although I think an experienced gardener would get quite a bit out of it, but for younger gardeners who wanted to I want to grow tomatoes, and they could just pop in and look at the tomato chapter, or, they could read in and out of the book quickly and get the information they needed and some inspiration, too, hopefully.
There's great inspiration from old Mr. Mansfield. There's a picture taken in 1916 of his plants. Yeah, and I really like every chapter starts off with a little tidbit or a quote from someone, and Mr. Mansfield says, with respect to tomatoes, give all the sun possible and water, and then water.
Yeah. There's just some great advice from gardeners who've been around a long time, or they're not around anymore. these old gardeners, and there's just some wonderful, great humor they have, and great inspiration for new people doing gardening now.
Right. There was another little section in the book about a word that we use a lot here at KAXC, KBXC, and that's phenology. And you'd noted just some tips, kind of a little phenological guide to how to do your planting. Could you share just a couple of those for our listeners?
Right. Yeah, I actually, because I do, I do see some climate change going on. I started watching, I started using phenology to figure out when to plant things. And one of them is when the crocuses bloom, you take the mulch off your strawberries. When the leaves first emerge on lilacs, then you should plant your lettuce, your beets, your spinach, and other cool weather crops. When the irises bloom, you put out your squash and melon transplants. That seems pretty good. That seems pretty close. When the dandelions bloom, plant your potatoes.
Ah, love that.
And when they go to seed, plant your petunias a little bit later. So this just, these are ones that have been around for many years, and I think they're pretty useful tips for gardeners trying to.
Probably more useful than watching the calendar these days.
Sometimes they are, because I know that I have moved back the time that I plant out my tomatoes. I used to plant them out about the 10th of May, and that was just like ludicrous. And I'm sure you guys probably plant them about the 10th of June. And I now plant them about about the 1st of June, just because I knew they do better. And but with the phenology, I also watch for things like when are my irises blooming and that kind of, when are trees blooming, to figure out what's the best time to do things.
That's Mary Shear. Your garden probably looks fantastic at your house every summer.
Well, not right now because I moved.
Oh, you're just getting started again.
We just started again. I did the back last year, the front this year. So
oh,
I've
my
got
goodness.
A lot of work ahead of me.
Someone in Northfield has a very nice garden.
She does.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank
Have
you.
A great day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
That was Mary Shear. If you need some gardening advice, I've got a book for you. It's called From Apples to Zinnias, The Northern Gardener. It's full of all kinds of tips, suggestions, tried and true methods, and will be a great kind of Bible to have on hand as you're getting things put together this spring.